Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Tide Talk Live. Stacey Blackwood joined, as always, by Jake Thomas for our preview and prediction show for Chattanooga at Alabama. Week 12 of the season is upon us. Just 2 games remaining in the regular season, whether you can believe it or not. Jake, you know, it's not the biggest contest of the weekend, but it is for Alabama because it's their next game, so it's important. Good to talk to you, buddy, about the game. Good to catch up. Cannot wait to dive into this matchup and give our thoughts and opinions on what's going to go down in Tuscaloosa this weekend. How you doing, buddy? And you excited for this weekend?
Yeah, man, I'm excited. You know, it sucks for Chattanooga, you know, because they're the next man up, and to take a beat down. And I hope that's what we have. I hope we don't see any kind of letdown or any kind of USF, you know, energy come out in this game. We don't need a close game. We, you know, just right off the bat, I feel like we need to take control early. That way, by at least mid third quarter, we can put some subs in. That way, some of our guys, our starters, can get some rest, especially with that Iron Bowl looking like it's shaping up to be a fun one now since Auburn has finally found an offense. So
yeah, no doubt about that. Can't wait to kind of talk about that matchup next week. And that's going to be a lot of fun. That's always obviously a big game, especially here in the state of Alabama for both programs. So looking forward to that matchup. And like you mentioned, Auburn has finally kind of found themselves. Now they have played, you know, the bottom feeders of the SEC. So that's probably helped them out a little bit, but they are getting better under Coach Hugh Freeze. And that's not really surprising to me or to you, I'm sure, because he's a good football coach. But, you know, we'll talk about Auburn when it is Auburn week. Alabama has Chattanooga this weekend. And like you mentioned, I think it's important for Alabama to not come out, you know, sloppy, to be focused. And Jake, I think if the Kentucky game kind of taught us anything, it's what was that this team kind of has the right mindset in these type of games. So I feel like they're kind of, you know, they kind of have that mojo right now. I think they're playing with confidence. I think they're playing with belief, and I think they're playing with an edge that's going to help them prevent them from kind of coming out sloppy against Chattanooga. Right.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. We saw, I would say, a different team, you know, in China, you know, that played Kentucky last week, because, you know, the offense has got going early on in some games, but it hasn't been consistent. You know, it was really consistent. I mean, it had, I think, 3 straight drives that had 3 straight scores and put it in the end zone, not just field goals, but in the end zone. And then, you know, it kind of sputtered again, but we had some weird mishaps happen, and then some things went awry that went against us, but we was able to settle down. And then, you know, in the third quarter, we took control of that game again. So the energy level throughout the entire game, though, was really high. So I'm very excited about that. You know, I know it's Chattanooga, but like I said earlier, we don't need to play down to this opponent. We've got to come out strong and keep that offensive rhythm going, especially in this game, just to get some, you know, some momentum and for the next game. But this game right here, we got to start out strong.
I agree 100%. We're going to talk more about that game here in just a minute. But if you're not already, make sure you do subscribe to our channel here on YouTube. Our channel is growing. We're closing in on 2,500 subscribers. So help us reach that goal, and then we'll just create a new goal and just continue to build our brand here on YouTube. We're also free and available on any podcast platform. So make sure you find us, whether it's on Apple or Spotify, Amazon Music, just wherever you find great podcasts, you can find Tide Talk Live. And we're obviously available on social media as well, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, TikTok. We're all over the place. So just if you Google Tide Talk Live, you're going to find us on all those platforms. And we would certainly appreciate a follow or subscription on any of those things. All right, Jake, as we look at this matchup, we always start with keys to victory. And we usually look at it from each side of the ball. But I'll be honest with you, I think we've kind of discussed the biggest key to victory for Alabama in this game against Chattanooga, because let's just call a spade, Alabama has better players. Alabama has better coaches. They're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. They're all the above. They totally outclass Chattanooga. So this game is going to be critical for Alabama from a mindset standpoint. And I think we kind of talked about that in the introduction. So in my opinion, this game just boils down to not X's and O's, not Jimmy's and Joe's. It does come down to Jimmy's and Joe's because ours are just so much better than Chattanooga's. Right. But it comes down to the mindset of this Alabama football team. Jake, if this team shows up ready to play, you know, not sleepwalking at 11 o'clock in the morning against the Chattanooga Mocs, Jake, they're going to take care of business early and often, and this game should be over with, you know, by the second quarter. So, to me, the key to victory for Alabama is not what kind of game plan Tommy Reese can come up with, not what kind of game plan Kevin Steele can come up with. It's what these Alabama players decide to do when they take the field at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. It's all about the execution, and these guys are starting to execute at a high level at the moment. You know, one good thing about that is the offensive line is playing a lot better. The execution offensive line has gotten tremendously improved throughout the entire season. Zero sacks last week. So I feel like that's going to be one of the keys for me, is to make sure we don't give up any sacks to the Chattanooga Mocs, because if we didn't give any up to Kentucky, who's got a good front seven, by the way, we shouldn't allow anybody in the backfield against Chattanooga this week. So, you know, the offensive line is going to be key for me to continue to grow and develop and become, you know, that force up front like they've been talking about all season. And we was critical of them start out the season because they wasn't doing that. All that talk was for naught. Now they're finally starting to talk, you know, back that talk up. And I'm glad to see it, because those guys are, you know, behemoths. They, if they want to, they can push anybody in the country around. And you're starting to see that now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'm glad you mentioned Chattanooga's pass rush, because for those of you who don't know, I write for Roll Tide Wire, part of the USA Today Network. Mm-hmm. And each Wednesday leading up to the opponent Alabama's play, and I kind of give everybody five things to know about that opponent. And one of those was about Chattanooga's pass rush. They actually have two pretty solid pass rushers, Jake. Jay Person and Ben Bruton. So remember those two names. One's a defensive lineman and one's kind of a linebacker, kind of a hybrid top outside linebacker, inside linebacker guy. But they've combined for 13 and a half sacks on the season. One guy has 7.5 and one guy has 6. So, you know, they're pretty good pass rushers. You know, I know their competition level is not SEC caliber,
right,
but they're going to test these Alabama offensive tackles, and more specifically, Caden Proctor. And you have to believe that Chattanooga's defensive coordinator is going to try to attack the true freshman left tackle for Alabama. So, like you said, this offensive line needs to show up and play well, just like they did on the road against Kentucky, who does have a pretty good front seven as well. So, I think it's important for Alabama's offensive line to come out and play strong, especially in pass protection, to protect Jalen Milroe. Need to keep him healthy, and just kind of build on the positive momentum that those guys up front have made. And it's not just Proctor. Seth McLaughlin's snaps have been better. He's blocking better. So I just think as a whole, this unit is playing much better. And I think they need to continue that, like you said, on Saturday against Chattanooga.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing I want to see a little bit more of is getting some rushing lanes from the offensive linemen. You know, they're getting better in the rushing attack. But I would still like to see that rushing attack get a little bit more consistent than what it has been. And, you know, this is a good opportunity for that to happen against Chattanooga.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's been some lanes from time to time because if you notice, it seems like in the second half of games, Jace McClellan is a little more decisive when he runs the football. He gets downhill a little quicker in the second half of games, which allows him to be more productive on the ground. So, you know, I think it's a little bit of both. The offensive line is not quite where it needs to be in run blocking, but I also think the backs have got to help them out some. They got to be more decisive. They got to hit the lanes when they're there. They got to know when to bounce it. So it's a team effort, Jake, like it always is in football. It's a team effort. The five guys up front have to block well, and the backs have to hit the holes that are there. So, like you said, it's important that the ground game gets going as well against Chattanooga, because I thought in the second half against Kentucky, that was really important because, you know, Alabama had the big lead. The only way that Kentucky was going to be able to come back is if the defense just collapsed and if the offense was not able to run the football. And the offense really just ran the air out of the ball there in the second half behind, you know, Jace and Rodale and even Justice Haynes a little bit and Jam Miller. So I agree 100%. Got to get that ground game going a little bit better offensively for Alabama. Mm-hmm. All right, Jake. You look at some players to watch in this matchup against Chattanooga. You know, I want to look at some younger guys because, you know, and Saban would never want to talk about this, but this is a game where you get to see a lot of younger players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing is, though, Alabama's playing a lot of young players already.
Right.
So this is kind of a weird situation for Alabama. I think, you know, maybe you see more of Justice Haynes this coming weekend than you've seen all year. But, you know, really outside of that, Jake, I'm not sure who's really going to play a ton that hasn't really been a little bit of a contributor already.
Yeah, you're right, Stacey. And, you know, I didn't really think about the younger guys playing because we had so many, like you said, playing already. But it is a fact. If I've got two things I want to say. As a standpoint of players to watch, like on the first team defense, I want to see how – you know, Kool-Aid and Terrion Arnold and those corners do, because Saban did come say in his press conference today that Chattanooga does have two wide receivers that are SEC caliber. So, I mean, I know they're on Chattanooga, but they're still really good in, you know, at their craft, and that is playing football. So they're going to have a challenge this week. So,
yeah, not to cut you off, but speaking of those receivers, another thing I listed and what you need to know about Chattanooga is there are three leading receivers, Jake. Listen to these numbers from their top three receivers. They have combined for 147 catches for 2,246 yards and 16 touchdowns.
Wow, that's a lot.
And they've got three quality receivers, and their top two guys are really, really good. Javon Watley and Jamoy Mays are the two guys who are they're number one and number two guys. And the third option is Sam Phillips. So they have three targets that are really good. But those top two players, Jake, they're really good football players. I've watched some of their tape, and they can go get it, Jake. So Kool-Aid and Terrion and Trey Amos and all those guys, they're going to have to be on their game to not allow those guys to make big plays, especially early in that contest, and don't give them any sort of momentum in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got my eyes on the veterans and that aspect at corners during this game. But as a younger person, I want to see step up and maybe play a lot more in this game. He's played a little bit, but I like to see James Smith on that defensive front get some playing time. You know, he's had flashes, and I think in the USF game earlier in the year, he played a good bit in it. And it seemed like he was working his guy over. He was getting to the backfield. I hadn't really seen much of him since, but we got so many good guys in front of him. But there's an opportunity for him to make a claim that say, hey, this is the future. I'm the future of the defensive line, and this is what where you're going to see more of me, not only in this game, but for next year and years to come. So I've got my eye to see if he does anything spectacular in this game.
Yeah, when I thought about young players who could, you know, kind of jump off the screen this weekend, I thought of Justice Haynes offensively at running back and then James Smith along the defensive line, because I think, like you, both those guys have played a little bit. And right. But I'm not sure either guy has kind of met the expectations that a lot of us had for those two players this season. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, it's really not their fault. It's more that the older players have been productive enough that you can't take him off the field. So it's kind of a win-win situation, because, you know, you would like to see a little bit more of Justice Haynes or James Smith, but I mean, you're going to take out Jace and Rodell and Jam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you going to take out Justin Aboybe, Tim Smith, Tim Keenan, Jamarian Latham? I mean, are you going to take out those guys? So, Damon Payne has played really well when he's gotten in. So it's kind of one of those things where maybe they haven't met the expectations, but it's basically because the guys in front of him played so well, they can't come out of the game. So I think that's a win-win for Alabama, because they've played enough to get some reps and experience, but you know, they're not getting enough playing time simply because those veteran guys have stepped up and become the players that we thought they could be.
Yeah, you said it all right there, Stacey, about, you know, stepping up and being the players that we thought they could be. You know, we talked about Tim Smith, Justin Borgby, doing just that. You know, I really thought James Smith was going to see a lot more playing time this year because how inconsistent the offensive line has been in recent years. But they finally stepped up and started playing this year. And you know, I don't want to pull Tim Smith off the field right now. I don't want to pull Justin Borgby off the field right now. I don't want to pull Tim Keenan off the field right now. But those guys are playing so great. And then the twos behind them, like you said, Jamarian Latham and
Jaheim Otis.
I mean, who you can't pull them guys off the field when they're playing right now, because they're playing at a high level. And like you said, that's just a win-win, because that's been success. One of the success stories on the defensive side this year is how great the defensive line has played.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that's been maybe, you know, outside of Milroe's development at quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think the story of the season for Alabama is the improvement along the defensive line. Right. I really believe that.
I agree.
All right, Jake, bold prediction time. This is always fun. I want one, a bold prediction offensively and a bold prediction defensively from you.
Offensively, bold prediction. Alabama totals 600 yards plus total yards this, you know, offensively this week. I think Milroe probably have a pretty good day through the air and with his legs. And then I really think we start seeing a little bit, you know, 70, maybe a couple guys get within 75, 80 yards rushing, two or three guys potentially. So I really think it's going to be a big game offensively. And defensively, I'm going to say we have three turnovers, you know, whether it be interceptions or fumble recoveries. And I think one of those could potentially go for a pick six. Or scoop and score.
Okay. Well, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit defensively, because my bold prediction defensively was that Alabama would get a defensive touchdown in the game. Mm-hmm. So we'll both go with that defensively. And offensively, my bold prediction is that that people will not be able to stop talking about Justice Haynes after the game.
I love it.
I think he's probably going to start seeing reps in the second quarter of this game, you know, and really play a ton in the second half. And it would surprise me if he went over 100 yards in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just starts generating so much buzz for him, you know, moving forward. Even though people realize it's just Chattanooga, I think you even saw a little bit of it against Kentucky there late in that game, Jake, of just he just right. runs different, man. I don't know what it is. He's just got a different. He's got a different gear mm-hmm. or whatever it is, but the dude just picks up yards. He's got an incredible knack for picking up positive yards every time he touches the football. So excited to see what he can do possibly this weekend against Chattanooga. So that's my bold prediction offensively, that Justice Haynes will be the talk of the town following his performance Saturday. Go ahead.
I just going to say off that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, we've seen flashes, but we haven't seen a lot of Justice Haynes. So honestly, college football really don't know what to expect with him just yet. So he has one big game. I mean, like you said, he's going to be the talk of the town and probably talk of the nation because he is a special player. He hasn't got, you know, a lot of touches yet. He's shown flashes. But he gets 20 carries in this game and has over 100 yards. You're gonna know who Justice Haynes is for sure,
no doubt about it. Hey, speaking of kind of the way he played last week, real quickly, I thought Ty Simpson looked so calm and confident when he got in the game, Jake.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I know his stats were not great, but he had one long throw that was called back for a penalty, which we're still not even sure what the heck the penalty was.
Yeah.
CJ Dupree dropped a pass. He really should have had all completions. I thought he threw with confidence. He threw with great timing and rhythm. And I think you're seeing a guy that's starting to, you know, everybody's about instant gratification. He was a five-star prospect, so they thought he'd show up and be a five-star college player. Man, not every guy develops that way.
Right.
But, well, I think the guy we saw against South Florida to the guy we saw against Kentucky is a totally different player. I think it's a more confident player, a guy that's more comfortable in the Alabama offense. And so I was really pleased the way Ty Simpson just kind of commanded the field when he took over for Milroe. So I was really pleased to see that because, you know, there's been a lot of talk, but, you know, if Milroe goes down, Alabama's in trouble. And I do think that Milroe gives Alabama that X factor offensively that makes them from being very good to being potentially elite. I'm not sure Ty Simpson can give Alabama that this year. So Alabama needs Milroe to be healthy, but I'm confident that Ty Simpson could win games for Alabama this year because he just seems to maybe have turned that corner as well. And now I'm worried the dude's going to be gone in the transfer portal.
I know. I was really impressed with Ty Simpson as well. And one of the funny things that stands out is old Gary Danielson. We just love Gary, you know, and not Gary Danielson, but one of the other guys. I forgot his 11 o'clock show, but
Jordan Rogers.
Yeah, but he was just talking about how you know, he wasn't that fast as a prospect. And then he takes off with like a 30-yard run. And
he jukes the dude out of his shoes at the line of scrimmage and picks up a first down.
Yeah, and Jordan Rogers is like, well, he just proved me wrong there. You know, I was like, yeah. So, you know, he comes into the I've heard a lot of people talk about he doesn't run well. I'm like, what are you seeing? He's done an 8A.
Yeah.
I mean, he can run the ball. He was, like you said, a dual threat quarterback. And dual threats or passing and running, as far as best I can remember.
Apparently, Jordan Rogers didn't do his homework because Ty was the number one dual threat quarterback coming out of high school. So, I don't know what he was thinking. Now, maybe he was speaking in relative terms. And relative to Jalen Milroe, he's not fast. But, you know, everything's relative. So maybe he was comparing him to Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, I agree. But Ty, I was really impressed. You could tell the confidence level, like you said, was a lot different.
He was just like he belonged. And I use that phrase a lot, like especially when I'm talking, like, you know, just to friends. Like, that's one thing I watch for, especially in A-Day and especially with quarterbacks. Does he look like he belongs? Mm-hmm. Or does he look like he's out of place? And he, against Kentucky, Jake, he just looked calm, cool, and collected. Now, I know Alabama was up big. There was no chance they were going to lose the game. Right. So that might have had a little bit to do with it. But he threw with great confidence and was just really running the Alabama offense with confidence. And I was just happy to see that. Man, that quarterback room took a beating following that South Florida game, Jake. Yep. And the whole team did as well. But, Jake, that quarterback room, there wasn't nobody in the country that was talking good things about Alabama's quarterback room.
Right.
And so I'm just happy to see that not only is Milroe becoming, you know, honestly, one of the stars of college football. I mean, he is up there among the best players in college football at this exact moment. But it's also nice to see that Ty Simpson has progressed as well and seems to have some confidence here down the stretch for Alabama. So it's just good to see, especially considering where they all were at, you know, in week 3 of this season.
Yeah, and you got to give credit to Tommy Reese for, yeah, for development, and not only for getting the playbook right from Milroe to be successful, but the development of Milroe and of Ty Simpson. Because like you said, Stace, I feel like I hope Milroe stays healthy, because like you said, he gives us the best chance to win, especially in the Nets, you know, besides this game, the next two games coming up that we have, the SEC Championship game in Auburn. But if something happens and Ty Simpson goes down, I do have confidence in Ty Simpson that he can lead us to a victory if everybody plays like they should, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you said, he may not have that X factor like Milroe does, but he can get the job done as well.
No doubt about it. All right, Jake, let's get to our score predictions before we wrap up the show. Jump in the comments, let us know your score predictions, your thoughts on the game, your bold predictions, your key players, all that stuff. Let us know there in the comment sections, because we would love to interact with you there as well. All right, Jake, let me know how this game's going to play out and your score prediction for Saturday, that dreaded 11 o'clock kickoff.
I'm hoping, again, like we've talked about, do not have a letdown in this game. Do not play down to your opponent. Play up like you're playing somebody important. Because I feel like, you know, at this point, because apparently the committee will not move us up for nothing, we could win this game 100-0 and still not move up, apparently. So, style points. You need style points, and you need complete domination. And by complete domination, let it be like the time the defense several years ago did not allow LSU in the national championship game past 50 yards until late in the fourth quarter. You know, that type of domination, and have the offense just dominate and score every single time they get the ball. No mistakes, mistakes free, and win this game 52-3, 52-7, something like that, maybe even 55-7, but You need to go out and make a statement to college football and to the committee, because they're not giving you any love right now. Honestly, I may be a homer here, but
you're definitely a homer.
Yeah, for sure. You can see behind me. But the thing about it is, give me a team who has improved throughout the entire season like Alabama has. I don't think you can, because like I've said before, everybody's kind of peaked right now. We know what everybody has. You don't know what Alabama has, because I feel like the offense still has not hit their mark yet. And that's scary, because, I mean, we got two games left in the regular season, and this offense still hasn't peaked.
That's a great point, Jake. And before we wrap up, we'll touch a little bit on the committee here. But I want to get my score prediction is 55-7 Alabama.
I think
for all those things that you said, they come out, play well, kind of with not a chip on their shoulder, but with something to prove, Jake. They want to prove that they're one of the best teams in the country.
Absolutely.
I think they are. I think right now you can make the argument that Georgia and Alabama are the top two teams in the country. I really believe that. Michigan has not – they've played Penn State. Penn State couldn't score on me and you. They fired their offensive coordinator. That tells you what they think about their offense.
Right.
Ohio State and Michigan's going to play each other. That'll work itself out.
Yep.
I'm not sold on Ohio State's quarterback of being good enough to win a championship. So I think right now, you know, Alabama and Georgia are playing both their best football of the season so far. And God, that matchup in 3 weeks is going to be a doozy in Atlanta.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I want to mention about the Ohio State Michigan game, whoever plays and gets to their championship, Iowa, even though they can't score, they're not giving up any scores either. Iowa's defense, I mean, it is legit. So
hey, their top corner got hurt today at practice, is what I heard.
No, that ain't good. So that might change things. But, you know, their defense has been really, really good. They can't score to, you know, falling out of a bucket right now. But their defense has been legit. So that could give either Ohio State or Michigan a tough chance. They could accidentally win that. You know, Big Ten championship because of their defense. So, you know, again, if that works itself out, have one loss, but let's get to the committee, because I know you got some words about it.
Yeah. Well, look, I want to know what that conversation is in their selection process, because either who you play matters.
Right.
And the strength of schedule matters. Or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, if I'm Alabama, if I'm Georgia, if I'm Ohio State, if I'm Michigan, if I'm whoever, I'm never once ever scheduling a Power 5 opponent out of conference again.
Nope.
If the total end-all, be-all objection for this committee is that teams go undefeated, then why in the world, if you're in Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State, Michigan, whoever, would you play somebody in the non-conference that is a Power 5 school that could potentially beat you? Why would you?
Right.
Play North Dakota State. Play, you know, UMass.
Bishop Sycamore.
Yeah, play Bishop Sycamore. So I just want to know what benefit does it give you for scheduling tough non-conference opponents if you're not going to be rewarded for it, even if you lose?
Yeah.
Because if you're telling me that all it takes is winning, then I'm not scheduling those games.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I can somewhat buy Texas being ranked ahead of Alabama at this moment. They do own the head-to-head. But I dare anyone to look at me with a straight face and say, you think Texas beats Alabama Saturday afternoon?
No, not a chance.
So I think at some point, you know, common sense, eye test, the body of work, the total number of teams that you've beaten that are quality opponents should matter. Alabama's got 3 wins against top 20 opponents, all by 2 scores or more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alabama, out of the top 10 teams in the country, has the best opponent win-loss record of anybody in the country.
Right.
So, strength of schedule should matter. Who you play should matter. And the whole body of work, not just a game that happened in week 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, Texas has a loss to a team that has 2 losses.
Right.
And one of those losses to an Oklahoma State team that lost to, like, Central Florida or South, whoever it was. I just want to know, does strength of schedule matter? Does body of work matter? Because if it does, then you can't put especially Oregon ahead of Alabama or Texas for that matter.
Right.
They've beaten Utah.
Mm-hmm.
They've beaten Utah.
I see it.
So I don't – it's frustrating because they talk out of both sides of the mouth.
They do.
So I don't know. I don't know if that made any sense to anybody, what I just said. But it's just it just gets frustrating. Look, Alabama just needs to take care of the business. That's all they can do is take care of their business. And if the committee wants to leave them out for whatever reason, that's their prerogative. Obviously, they can do what they want to do. But none of those guys would ever leave, or ladies, whoever's on that committee, would ever pass a lie detector test and say that Alabama is not one of the 4 best teams in the country. If Alabama goes 12-1 with an SEC championship victory over Georgia and they're not put in the playoffs, there's not going to be one committee member that can pass a lie detector test that says that Alabama is not one of the 4 best teams.
Right. 100%.
And so and then they get up there on ESPN and they act like they're some kind of God and how like they have all the answers, Jake, and you can tell they don't know crap.
They don't.
They look at the most simplistic view of what it takes to and like they moved up. Who was it they moved up? They moved up Missouri 5 spots
to number 9.
And they got 2 losses. So evidently, number of losses don't matter to some teams, but they do for other teams.
Right. Exactly.
Because they put them ahead of Louisville, right?
Yeah, and Louisville's only got 1 loss right now.
Louisville's got 1 loss. Okay, so that tells you, well, the win-loss is not quite as important, except for Alabama and Texas and Oregon. And, you know, then it don't, you know, we're not going to pay attention to that side of it with these few teams.
Right.
They talk out of both sides of the mouth, Jake. You can't trust them.
And like you've already mentioned, apparently they do not care about strength of schedule either. Because, you know.
Alabama's is up there with anybody's.
Yeah. And we're 8th out of the 1-loss teams.
Yeah, I just it's crazy. I'm not saying Alabama should be in the top 4 right now. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there ain't a soul in this country that believes there's 7 teams better than Alabama right now.
Right. like you said, they'll fail a lot of tip test. I'm sorry.
They would fail it in a heartbeat.
I mean, the
person wouldn't finish the question and they'd fail it.
I mean, this is getting a situation kind of like last year. Here we go with our homerness again, but you couldn't tell me the way Alabama's season was ended last year, they won one of the four best teams.
Yeah, but hey, let's put TCU in there because they only had one loss and it was right in their conference championship game. Forget who all they played and how they barely escaped every single team they played by the skin of their teeth. Forget all that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to let them in. They're the most deserving.
Right. And then they end up killing Michigan, which usually happens to Michigan because they don't play nobody again besides Ohio State. And whoever wins that usually gets blown out in the playoffs anyway. So, then they play Georgia. And what happens? Georgia put 60-something points up on them.
Georgia beat them like a redheaded stepchild. And if you're a redheaded stepchild watching this, I'm sorry. Yep. But my gosh, I mean, beat them like a
drum. Very first snap, you knew it. They had no chance.
TCU didn't belong in the same city as Georgia, much less the same football field.
Right.
And Jake, we all knew it. We all knew it. The committee members knew it, Jake. They knew it. In their heart of hearts, they knew it.
Yep, exactly. And
that's what makes it frustrating.
Yeah. And what did Alabama do last year in the bowl game against the team that beat TCU for their championship?
Clobbered them.
Clobbered them. Yeah.
Clobbered them. So, I mean,
the committee, they just, like you said, they talk out both sides of their mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, what's good for one team is not for the other. And it's crazy to me.
And that's when
I saw that Missouri jumped all the way up to ninth, I thought, hey, they're looking at how teams are playing right now.
Right.
Because I think you can make the argument the way Missouri's playing right now, they are probably the ninth best team. So I thought, hey, they're probably going to slide some teams up. They're going to swap some things around. I thought Alabama might move up to maybe sixth or seventh or, you know, somewhere. Mm-hmm. But no. Oh, no.
No, no, we're going to keep them at eight.
We're going to keep them at eight. And I'm not saying they have bias towards Alabama. I don't know. I don't know anybody on that committee. But I do know that they can't say with a straight face that there's seven teams better than Alabama right now.
No. Nobody in the nation can.
And you know what the point of the playoff selection each week? It's the best teams at this moment.
Right.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If that wasn't the case, why would you release the poll every week? Why wouldn't you just wait until the season's over with? If it wasn't about what you're seeing each and every week, then why release a poll every week?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's either A, there's a couple options. Either A, they don't care if they get it right. They're just kind of getting together and saying, yeah, this looks okay.
Right.
B, they are completely incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Or C, they have it out for certain teams. And I'm not just saying Alabama.
Right.
Because there's no way Texas should be ranked behind Oregon.
Right.
There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
There's a scenario that could potentially happen, and I was talking to somebody at work about this today, that the way I feel, if this does happen, if Alabama does run the table and wins the SEC championship game, and then Oregon, you know, beats whoever they play for their championship, I guess it'll be Washington, you have two one-loss teams there. At that point, money's got to take into consideration. And are you going to tell me that the Pac-12 is going to make more money in the playoffs with revenue than the SEC would, an SEC champion? And the answer is no. If Alabama runs the table, I feel like you're going to have to put them in just for the money aspect of it.
Yeah. Hey, I bet that's – people ain't never going to admit it, but I bet that's a factor, Jake.
Yeah, money is always a factor in everything now. I mean, look at NIL. Everything. Everything's about money now. And it's ruined the game of college football. And we could talk for hours about that, but we're not going to.
Yep, yep. Actually, right now, this is a good time to stop it. We're going to go ahead and wrap the show up. Did not mean to go on the tangent and the rant about the college football playoff committee, but
much needed, though.
It's much needed because it's just frustrating to see the top. I mean, they're the leadership of college. They are college football right now.
Right.
And I don't trust them. And if you can't trust the people that are making the biggest decisions for the sport at the time, you're in a world of hurt.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Hey, that's going to wrap up our show. Thank you so much for watching our preview and prediction show for Chattanooga at Alabama. It kicks off at 11 a.m. Central on Saturday morning. ESPN Plus, SEC Network Plus, whatever. So you have to stream it through that. It will not be on TV. Just a reminder. Also, there will be no biscuits for Bama this Saturday. My son has a basketball game bright and early Saturday morning, so I will not be available for that. We will be back on the Bleacher Report app following the game to give our instant reaction to Chattanooga at Alabama. So make sure you tune in there as well. But it's been a lot of fun. Make sure you jump in the comments. Let us know your thoughts on this game. Smash that like button and subscribe to the channel. And we'll see you guys real soon. But until then, roll tide.
Roll tide.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Parents, when you visit California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself.
What would kids do?
Dance to a giant organ played by ocean waves? Yep. Camp in floating treehouses hundreds of feet off the ground? Check. Jump in a big tub of mud on purpose? Call it rejuvenation. We don't care. Just pack your fun pants and let childhood rule your family vacation. Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Save big money on everything now at Menards. Make quick work of your outdoor cleaning project with Masterforce outdoor and landscaping tools. The 80-volt cordless trimmer is powerful, efficient, and hassle-free, so you spend less time working on your yard and more time enjoying the results. On sale now through May 19th. Check out our wide selection of Masterforce tools and see the rest of our deals on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.